Police in Paris said the car in which Diana and Mr. Al-Fayed were driving was being followed by press photographers on motorcycles. Officials say one of them may have been responsible for the crash. Five press photographers have been detained for questioning about it, all of them French. A motorcycle was also seized. Diana's difficult relationship with the press led her to ask for greater privacy when she decided to take a less prominent role in public life.
Over the next few months, I will be seeking a more suitable way of combining a meaningful public role with hopefully a more private life. I hope you can find it in your hearts to understand and to give me the time and space that has been lacking in recent years.
The voice of the late Diana, Princess of Wales. In fact, her relationship with the media was very complex. A few minutes ago, I spoke to one of Britain's top royal watchers, James Whittaker of the Daily Mirror.
Yes, I have been, I have to admit, I'm in the Maldives on holiday and I have been weeping. I didn't know her personally. I knew her professionally and I'd known her for since January 1978. So a long time. I've seen and been with her and recorded every facet of her life since then, and I'd had many conversations with her. They were not all friendly. She would use the press for her own ends on occasions. Why not? I have no complaints on that. And at other times, she wanted to be left alone, but she was charming. I cannot tell you what charm that woman had, and she was a delight to be with, even if she was a bit angry with one. Yes, it's hard to imagine life without Diana, as reports just said. She's much loved in England, not by everybody. I mean, the establishment, a number of the establishment people found her poison. They didn't like her at all, but she's known internationally. She has achieved so much good in her life and was continuing to do so. She will be hugely missed by a lot of people. We won't realize it until this all sinks in, and then we'll realize what a loss this lady is to us all.
James, let me just pick up one phrase of yours there. She was a delight to be with. In what way? What made her such a delight?
Her charm, her sense of humor, her twinkling eyes, and she would reprimand, but never in a vicious way. I mean, I remember her coming to me at a party long ago, in 1983 in New Zealand, and I'd written a story about how clever she was, never wearing an overcoat while out in the freezing cold, and just suit. And then I discovered that she wore that special underwear, you know, the, what's it called, the, anyway, that keeps you extra warm. I've forgotten what it's called. And I'd written this, and she came up, and she was wagging her finger at me, saying, "Mr. Whittaker, I've got a bone to pick with you. How, thermal underwear, that's right." I said, she said, "How do you know I wear thermal underwear? Have you been looking up my skirt with your binoculars?" She said it with a big laugh, and she got the message across. She was extraordinarily beautiful. Her eyes, her old blue eyes, as she was known as by the press, who all adored her. It was horrific when there was a confrontation, as did happen at times. But I have to tell you, all decent photographers would back off when she was clearly distressed or upset, and it mainly happened when she was with her children. She was like a she-wolf with those. She would protect them enormously, particularly when they were younger. The foreign press, they're not that awful, but they did not have the same sort of feeling for Diana as the British people, who had known her much longer and felt so much more for her.
And that was James Whittaker of the Daily Mirror looking at the princess's relationship with the media. And here in London, mourners have been gathering outside the residence of the Princess of Wales after news of her death in a car accident in Paris with her companion Dodi Al-Fayed filtered across the nation. One man lit two candles for her, and a number of early risers, it's reported, left flowers at the end of the drive at Kensington Palace where she lived. But it was in Paris where the announcement of her death was made, and the British ambassador there is Sir Michael Jay.
Tonight's accident is a terrible tragedy. The death of the Princess of Wales fills us all with deep shock and with deep grief. And our thoughts and our prayers are with her family and her friends, and with the family and friends of the others who died in the accident. The Queen and the Prince of Wales and the Prime Minister have been informed of the accident and of the death of the Princess of Wales. I should like to take this opportunity to thank the Minister and the French authorities and the medical team here at this hospital for all they have done tonight at the time of this terrible tragedy. Thank you.
The British ambassador in Paris, Sir Michael Jay. Princess Diana was 36 when she died. Her companion, Dodi Al-Fayed, not that much older. With me in the studio still is the BBC's Nick Childs. Nick, we're speaking here of two still relatively young people. The way they died, what actually happened, is going to cause enormous shockwaves and circles, isn't it?
Yes, I think, as you say, the relative youth of the two people concerned, the two principal people concerned, we must remember also that the driver in the car also died, but also the fact that it has come out of the blue, as it were. As far as the princess is particularly is concerned, the reactions we've had, I think, underlined her sort of international status, and all we've heard of her personal warmth and charisma. I think that's what most people will remember. There were mixed feelings about her, the way she conducted some aspects of her private life, but it was this, if you like, great gift of personal warmth, which I think people will remember, and hope that some of the other revelations won't get in the way of that memory.
And of course that warmth which she channeled into helping so many charities, not least landmines.
Well, that's right, yes. She played a very significant role and was a very significant figurehead in that respect, and I think a lot of people will emphasise that point when they think about her.
Nick Childs, thank you very much.
The presenter of our special news coverage there was Oliver Scott. This is London.
Oh, 7 hours, Greenwich Mean Time. BBC World Service, the news with John Stone. Diana, Princess of Wales, has died of injuries received in a car crash in Paris, in which her companion, Dodi Al-Fayed, and their driver were also killed. Police say their car was being followed at high speed by press photographers on motorcycles, and believe one of them may have been to blame. Buckingham Palace says the Queen and the Prince of Wales are deeply distressed and shocked. And Dodi Al-Fayed's father described the deaths as appalling and needless. Diana, Princess of Wales, has died after a high-speed car crash in Paris, in which her companion of the past few months, the Egyptian-born Dodi Al-Fayed, was also killed. The Princess, the divorced wife of the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, was 36. The driver of the car, said to be a security officer, was also killed, and the princess's bodyguard injured. The princess had been taken to the intensive care unit at a leading Paris hospital. She died of severe chest injuries after surgery. Her pulmonary vein had been severed. The police in Paris have blamed press photographers for the crash. Stephen Jessel reports from Paris.
Diana, Princess of Wales, died at a hospital in southern Paris around 4 a.m. She'd been taken there after the car in which she was travelling crashed at high speed shortly after midnight in a tunnel on the banks of the River Seine. Reports said that the car was being chased by freelance photographers eager to get pictures of her in the company of Dodi Al-Fayed, the son of the Egyptian owner of the Harrods store in London, Mohammed Al-Fayed. Persistent rumours in recent weeks had claimed the princess was romantically involved with Mr. Al-Fayed. The two had been pictured on holiday together and appeared to be close friends. Mr. Al-Fayed was killed in the crash, as was the driver of the car. A bodyguard was seriously injured. Reports suggest the car may have hit a wall and spun round. It was very badly damaged. The tunnel was closed for several hours after the accident as emergency crews tried to free people trapped in other vehicles involved in the accident. The Princess and Mr. El Fayed had arrived in Paris a few hours earlier and had dined at the Ritz Hotel, which is owned by the El Fayed family. They appeared to be on their way to Mr. El Fayed's house in western Paris. Initial reports said the Princess had suffered concussion, a broken arm and cuts to her thigh, but it later emerged that she'd sustained serious chest injuries and emergency surgery failed to save her life. Soon after the accident, the Princess was visited by the French Interior Minister, Jean-Pierre Chevènement, who later broke the news of her death.
The head of the Paris Hospital's intensive care unit, Bruno Rioux, told journalists that surgeons closed a wound in Princess Diana's heart and then massaged the heart for 2 hours in an attempt to save her life. Dr. Rioux said ambulance workers at the scene of the crash had initially managed to revive the princess, but her heart stopped beating on arrival at the hospital. Diana, Princess of Wales, was born on July the 1st, 1961. Her family traced their lineage back to King Charles II and included some of the most illustrious names in British history. After attending schools in England, she then studied in Switzerland. In the late 70s, she worked as a kindergarten teacher in London, until in February 1981, when it was announced that she was to marry the Prince of Wales, the heir to the throne. The wedding took place on July the 29th at St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and the ceremony was watched on television by millions of people around the world. Almost a year later, the couple's first child, William, was born, becoming second in line to the throne. And in 1984, Princess Diana gave birth to their second son, Harry. It was 5 years ago that reports began to appear that Prince Charles and Princess Diana were unhappy in their marriage. In December 1992, the then Prime Minister, John Major, announced in Parliament that the couple were separating. Their divorce was announced a year ago. Reactions to the deaths are coming in from Britain and around the world. Buckingham Palace said the Queen and the Prince of Wales, who were on holiday at Balmoral in Scotland, were deeply distressed by the terrible news. The Prince of Wales had told his sons, Prince William and Prince Harry, about their mother's death. With the immediate reaction here in Britain to the death of the Princess, here's Bernadette Keogh.
The British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said he was utterly devastated by the death of the Princess and described her as a wonderful, warm, compassionate person. He said the whole of Britain would be in shock and mourning over her death. Britain's Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, who's touring Southeast Asia, described the death as a tragic loss of a young woman who'd shown great courage and commitment on serious issues. He said after a period of sadness, serious questions would have to be asked whether an aggressive intrusion into her privacy had contributed to the accident. The father of Dodi El Fayed, the Harrods owner Mohammed El Fayed, said the deaths of his son and Diana were appalling and quite needless. He said the world had lost a princess who was simply irreplaceable. The leader of the opposition Conservative Party here in Britain, William Hague, was woken and told the news. He said he was absolutely shocked. The whole nation will be in shock and in tears at this awful news, he said. My heart goes out in particular to Prince William and Prince Harry. There's also been reaction from the two main churches in Britain. A spokesman for Lambeth Palace said the prayers of the Archbishops of Canterbury and York, indeed the whole Church of England, will be with the families of Diana, Princess of Wales, and Mr. El Fayed at this tragic moment. Cardinal Hume, leader of the Roman Catholic Church in England and Wales, said in a statement, "I'm greatly distressed at the news of the death of Princess Diana and the awful suddenness in which it came upon us all. My deepest sympathy goes out to all the royal family, and particularly to her two sons to whom she was so devoted. She'll be remembered with great gratitude by so many of those who she endeavoured to assist in so many ways."
Internationally, one of the first to express his sadness was the United States President Bill Clinton. Tom Carver reports from Washington.
The President and Mrs. Clinton were informed by a military aide whilst they were attending a party at a private home in Martha's Vineyard where they're on holiday. Once it was confirmed that Diana had died, the president issued a statement saying they were profoundly saddened and that their thoughts were with Diana's family, especially the children. The White House spokesman said the Clintons were very upset. They embraced and left the party shortly after hearing the news. Diana was an extremely popular figure in the United States, and despite her divorce, she remained the most well-known member of the royal circle. The Americans loved her combination of Hollywood star quality and the mystique of royalty. She, in turn, loved America, and despite the attention of photographers here, never felt as harassed as she did in Britain. She visited the White House many times over the years, once famously dancing with John Travolta at a party. The last time she came to Washington was 2 months ago as part of her campaign for a ban on anti-personnel landmines. Last September, Hillary Clinton made her guest of honor at a breakfast in the White House to raise funds for breast cancer research. The fact that the crash may well have been caused by photographers chasing the couple will raise considerable sympathy in Hollywood, where many actors also suffer the same attention.
The French Prime Minister, Lionel Jospin, said he was returning to Paris to pay tribute to Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed. Condolences were extended by King Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia, which Princess Diana had shown an interest in visiting as part of her campaign against the use of landmines. There were also expressions of sadness and condolence from the Philippines and Indonesia. In Australia, the Prime Minister, John Howard, said the accident had ended the life of someone who held a particular fascination for many people around the world. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jim Bolger, said the hearts of all New Zealanders went out to the Princess's children. In India, Mother Teresa, whom the Princess met briefly in New York in June, expressed her shock and sorrow. There were also statements of sorrow from the Pakistani Prime Minister, Nawaz Sharif, and the former Prime Minister, Benazir Bhutto. Police in Paris have detained 5 press photographers for questioning about the fatal crash, all of them are French. One motorcycle was also seized. French criminal police are investigating the crash. Diana, Princess of Wales, lived all her adult life in the public eye, and the breakup of her marriage to Prince Charles did not diminish her status as one of the world's highest profile celebrities. Nick Hyam reports on the photographer's pursuit of the princess over the years.
Princess Diana had her first taste of life in the media spotlight even before her marriage. Persistent photographers reduced her to tears at a polo match. In the years since, she's had to accept much worse. Freelance photographers, known as paparazzi, equipped with long lenses and often riding motorbikes, shadow her every move, as they do those of a few major Hollywood stars and of pop music icons like Madonna. Revealing photographs of the princess fetch large sums. America's Globe magazine paid $200,000 for North American rights to pictures of her and Dodi Al-Fayed recently. Like other stars, the princess dislikes the paparazzi's attentions, but knows the value of publicity. She's sometimes remonstrated with photographers. Last year, a passerby came to her aid in a London street when she tried to get one photographer to leave her alone. A second photographer snapped the encounter. But she's also used her celebrity for her own ends, leaking stories to a few favoured journalists, and most recently, inviting photographers to come with her to Southern Africa and Bosnia in her campaign against landmines.
This news comes to you in the World Service of the BBC. Now a look at the other major stories of the day. The leader of the outlawed Islamic Salvation Front in Algeria says he's willing to call for an immediate end to the violence that has racked the country for more than 5 years. His intervention follows the latest and worst in a series of savage mass killings of civilians, blamed largely on Islamic militant groups. In a letter to the UN Secretary General, Kofi Annan, the front's leader, Sheikh Abbasi Madani, said his appeal would pave the way for serious dialogue to resolve Algeria's crisis. Mr. Annan earlier declared the world could no longer ignore events in Algeria. The BBC North Africa correspondent says this suggests the UN may be preparing to act to help resolve the conflict. The senior American envoy to Bosnia-Herzegovina, Robert Gelbart, has reaffirmed support for the position of the Bosnian Serb president, Biljana Plavšić, in her power struggle with supporters of her predecessor, Radovan Karadžić. Mr. Gelbart appeared with Mrs. Plavšić in Banja Luka after he'd delivered a warning to her enemies in Pale to comply with the Dayton Peace Accords. Ola Guerin reports from Banja Luka.
The senior U.S. envoy, Robert Gelbart, sat around the table for talks with leaders he has already called liars using terrorist tactics. The message was that they must get into line or face what he called the most serious consequences imaginable. Washington, he said, had run out of patience. After the talks, key Karadzic loyalist Momcilo Krajcnik said they had heard the message, but threats wouldn't work. History shows that threats alone have had little effect here in the past. The international community may have to do more than talk tough if it wants to subdue the hardliners in Palais. After his trip to the Karadzic stronghold, Robert Gelbard came here to Banja Luka to meet the elected president Biljana Plavšić. She may not like the Dayton Agreement, but she accepts it, and Washington is backing her to the hilt.
King Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia has offered to mediate in peace talks between the country's warring factions, but he says this has already been rejected by the Prime Minister Hun Sen. King Sihanouk said that if all parts of Cambodian society listened to him, a meeting could be organized immediately. The king said he could not ignore the reality that his son, Prince Norodom Ranariddh, had been deposed by his junior co-premier Hun Sen, and that the prince's forces could not hold out much longer in their last stronghold of Osmach. But he said if that happens, the civil war in Cambodia will expand unless there are peace talks. It's been announced in Havana that the Pope will hold a mass in the city's Revolution Square during his visit to Cuba next January, but it's not clear whether President Fidel Castro will attend. And Israel says it will not withdraw more troops from the West Bank until the Palestinian Authority takes tougher action against militant groups. Finally, a reminder of the main story. It's been announced that Diana, Princess of Wales, has died after a car crash in Paris, in which her companion, Dodi El Fayed, and their driver were also killed. The princess, the divorced wife of the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, was 36. Police say their car was being followed at high speed by press photographers on motorcycles and believe one of them may have been to blame. Buckingham Palace says the Queen and the Prince of Wales are deeply distressed and shocked. And Dodi El Fayed's father described the deaths as appalling and needless. That's the end of the news from London.
It's very nearly 7:15 GMT. You're listening to programmes in the World Service of the BBC. We continue now our coverage of the news concerning the death of Diana, Princess of Wales.
This is the BBC World Service. We've suspended our normal programming following the death of the Princess of Wales from injuries sustained in a car crash in Paris. Her death was announced in the early hours of Sunday morning. We'll be continuing our coverage of the death of Princess Diana throughout the day.
This is the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Lustig with a special news programme. Diana, Princess of Wales, has died after a car crash in Paris. The announcement was made by the French Interior Minister, Jean-Pierre Chevènement. The princess had been taken to the intensive care unit at a leading Paris hospital, where she died of severe chest injuries after surgery. Her companion, the Egyptian-born Dodi El Fayed, was also killed. The accident occurred in a road tunnel near the River Seine. Eyewitnesses say the car was travelling at high speed and hit a wall. Police said the car was being followed by press photographers on motorcycles. The British Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, made this announcement.
I am greatly shocked by this news. Our first thoughts must be with her children and with her family at this time of immense loss to them. I was fortunate to have the opportunity of working with the princess on an international charity work. I believe what has happened is a tragic loss at a young age of someone who'd shown great courage and commitment in drawing attention to serious issues. For the next few days, her family and the nation must have time to come to terms with their immense sadness and loss. In the longer term, serious questions will need to be asked as to whether the aggressive intrusion into her privacy has contributed to this tragedy. Thank you.
Well, from early this morning, people have been gathering outside Buckingham Palace here in London to pay tribute to the Princess of Wales.
I got back from a party about 4 o'clock this morning. I heard the news, and I just had to come up, you know. We're all the same people. We all cared about her and loved her, and can't really believe that it's all over, to be honest.
How do you feel about it?
Just shocked, to be honest. I can't really believe that what I've heard on the news is what has really happened. It's just too much, really.
Who was Diana to you?
Pretty much what she said on the telly, you know. We just wanted her to be someone for the people and nobody else. That was all. Nothing special. I'm no one special. I just wanted to pay my last respects to her.
You brought her flowers and a...
Just a candle. It was just my way of saying goodbye, really. That was all.
It's a tremendous loss, isn't it?
It is, yes, it is. For all of us.
Where were you when you heard the news?
At home. I just got home when we heard the news of the accident. And I was at home when we heard the news that she'd actually died in the accident as well. So we wanted to come up and just put something for her, a candle or flowers or something. That was all.
How do you think she'll be remembered?
A different way for every different person, I suppose, you know. Everybody remembers her differently. She meant a lot to us, that was all.
When you say us, do you mean just your friends?
The average people in this country, that was all. Just Mr. and Mrs. Average, she just meant a lot to us, that was all.
Had you ever met her? Had you ever seen her at a public function?
No, never. No, never. I just wanted to come and pay my last respects.
Well, our correspondent Andy Tye is outside Buckingham Palace. Andy, what are the scenes there now?
Well, as we've just heard, people have been turning up mesmerised, absolutely shocked and stricken with grief. Many of them quite unable to believe what's happened. Some people have been emerging from all-night clubs in the West End of London here to find out the news. They've gone to all-night convenience stores, picked up whatever bouquets of flowers they could find, brought them to the palace gates and placed them down there. And now, as I speak, there are small groups of people sitting around on the steps in front of the main entrance to Buckingham Palace, many of them just staring straight ahead. A few have been weeping, and they really just cannot believe what has happened. Of course, there are journalists here as well, and in fact, the absolute relevance of journalism to what appears to have happened has not escaped the attention of many of the people here. And one woman who was clearly upset by what she's heard told me that she thought that Diana had been hounded for all her life and that she was a victim, and she believed that now it was a time for reflection upon what had happened.
What official sign is there at the palace of what has happened?
At this stage, not much official activity at all, really. Of course, as you would expect, the normal security activity, police officers guarding the gates, a lot of media attention, as you would anticipate. The mall, which is the main road, of course, leading to Buckingham Palace, has been closed off to traffic, and the police are very much in control of the situation. But no, there's been no no one's appeared at the palace gates to say anything. It, very much at this stage, it appears just to be an opportunity for ordinary people who happen to be up at this time. I spoke to a tourist from New Zealand who told me that he hadn't quite got used to the time yet, so he'd come out for a walk when he heard the news, and also to pay his respects, standing by silently. So at this stage, as I say, just the people who happen to be around at this time. I'm sure as the day progresses here in central London, we'll see many more people bringing their own form of tribute.
Andy Tye at Buckingham Palace for now. Thanks very much indeed. Well, Paul Reynolds has been looking back at the life of the Princess of Wales.
The story of the Princess of Wales began as a fairy tale and ended as a nightmare. And not only did it leave her devastated, it helped to trigger a debate about the future of the monarchy unprecedented in modern times. Diana revealed her feelings in an interview with the BBC Panorama programme in 1995.
I'd like to be a queen of people's hearts in people's hearts, but I don't see myself being queen of this country. I don't think many people would want me to be queen. Actually, when I say many people, I mean the establishment that I'm married into, because they've decided that I'm a non-starter.
She spoke, too, about the failure of her marriage, which she blamed on her husband's love for another woman.
Well, there were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
The other woman was Camilla Parker Bowles, with whom Prince Charles had already admitted having an affair. Diana described the pressures which led to her suffering from the eating disorder bulimia. But the interview also showed her tougher side as she fought her corner against those she regarded as her enemies in the establishment.
She won't go quietly. That's the problem. I'll fight till the end because I believe that I have a role to fulfill. And I got two children to bring up.
Diana Frances Spencer was born on July 1st, 1961. She came from an aristocratic family. Her father had been an equerry to George VI and the present Queen. Her parents separated when she was six, and she never forgot the sound of her mother's departing footsteps on the drive. Her education wasn't extensive, boarding school for a time in Kent, finishing school in Switzerland. Then she began work in London with children. Her engagement to Prince Charles was announced in February 1981. Her early shyness was evident as she answered questions.
Well, I very much look forward to going to Wales and meeting everybody, but my life will be a great challenge.
Are you looking forward to making a home at Highgrove, for example?
Oh, yes, very much so. Looking forward to being a good wife.
The wedding was at St. Paul's Cathedral.
Everyone can see the bride on the arm of her father, Lord Spencer, and carrying a bouquet of gardenias and roses with this immense train. It must be 25 feet long, streaming back behind her against the brilliant red of the carpet, smiling with a beguiling shyness, but composed and happy and confident.
Take thee, Charles Philip Arthur George.
Take thee, Philip Charles Arthur George.
To my wedded husband.
To my wedded husband.
Two children were born, William and Harry. On the surface, all seemed well. Lady Di, as she was known around the world, became a popular figure, and not just of fashion. She started speaking up for the disadvantaged, like the victims of AIDS.
HIV does not make people dangerous to know. So you can shake their hands and give them a hug. Heaven knows they need it.
Children, too, were one of her concerns.
Hugging has no harmful side effects. If we all play our part in making our children feel valued, the result will be tremendous.
But all was not well. The popular press was hinting at problems in the marriage, and this was dramatically confirmed in 1992 in a book by Andrew Morton, which, with Diana's consent, revealed the true sadness of her life. In December that year, the separation was announced. Diana eventually appealed for the press to lay off and give her some privacy.
Over the next few months, I will be seeking a more suitable way of combining a meaningful public role with hopefully a more private life. I hope you can find it in your hearts to understand and to give me the time and space that has been lacking in recent years.
But the press still chased her, and there were stories about her men friends, stories which damaged her image of the wronged wife. Indeed, in the Panorama interview with Martin Bashir, she admitted to an earlier extramarital affair with James Hewitt, an army officer.
Did your relationship go beyond a close friendship?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Were you unfaithful?
Yes, I adored him. Yes, I was in love with him. But I was very let down.
The interview seemed part of her fight back, and she announced that she was ready for public life again.
I'd like to be an ambassador for this country. I'd like to represent this country abroad. As I have all this media interest, let's not just sit in this country and be battered by it. Let's take them, these people, out and to represent this country and the good qualities of it abroad.
Perhaps her most startling claim was that Prince Charles might not even want to be king. It added to the debate about the future of the monarchy, which had developed in the light of these and other royal difficulties. Diana herself had trouble in settling to a new life. She agreed to a divorce only after pressure from the Queen and said that it was the saddest day of her life. She became something of an isolated and tragic figure.
Paul Reynolds. Well, Oliver Scott spoke just a short time ago to Lord Runcie, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, and he suggested to him that the news of Princess Diana's death was, of course, a great shock.
Yes, indeed, she was a good friend to us, and she had a tremendous interest in a variety of concerns, and her wedding is fresh in my mind and always will be, and the baptism of her children and the way in which she took it tenderly and with such potential that she had at that time.
In a sense, of course, unique circumstances when we look at the funeral arrangements, to which attention will have to be turned fairly shortly. We're speaking here of the divorced wife, after all, of the Prince of Wales. What do you think would be the appropriate arrangements here?
Well, I honestly can't say, because I'm so full of thoughts and needs to pray for them all, that I certainly don't want to prescribe for them. And I think we ought to be very sensitive. There will be the family to consider, and the royal family, and something which will give some measure of consolation to the nation who had taken her to their heart.
And particular sadness, of course, for the young princes.
Yes. Very much so, and they are old enough to have opinions about it, and I'm sure that they will be listened to.
The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Runcie, talking there to Oliver Scott. You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Lustig with a special news programme to mark the death of Diana, the Princess of Wales, in a car crash in Paris. In a moment, we'll be hearing live from Paris, and we will, of course, be reporting on the tributes which have been flowing in from around the world. But first, a summary of the news so far from John Shea.
Diana, Princess of Wales, has died after a car crash in Paris, in which her companion of the past few months, the Egyptian-born Dodi Al-Fayed, was also killed. The princess, the divorced wife of the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, was 36. The princess had been taken to the intensive care unit at a leading Paris hospital and died of severe chest injuries after surgery. The accident occurred in a road tunnel near the River Seine. Eyewitnesses say the car was travelling at high speed and hit a wall. Police said the car was being followed by press photographers on motorcycles and believe that one of them may have been responsible for the crash. Reactions are coming in from Britain and around the world. Buckingham Palace said the Queen and the Prince of Wales are deeply distressed. The Prince of Wales had told his sons, Prince William and Prince Harry, about their mother's death. The Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, spoke of a tragic loss and said that later questions would be asked about whether aggressive intrusion into the princess's privacy had contributed to the accident. The Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said the princess was a wonderful, warm, compassionate person, and the whole of Britain would be in shock and mourning. In other world news, the leader of the outlawed Islamic Salvation Front in Algeria says he's willing to call for an immediate end to the violence that has racked the country for more than 5 years. His intervention follows the latest mass killing of civilians. The senior American envoy to Bosnia-Herzegovina, Robert Gelbart, has reaffirmed support for the position of the Bosnian Serb president, Biljana Plavsic, in her power struggle with her predecessor, Radovan Karadzic. King Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia has offered to mediate in peace talks between the country's warring factions. However, he says the offer has already been rejected by the Prime Minister, Hun Sen. And it's been announced in Havana that the Pope will hold a mass in the city's Revolution Square during his visit to Cuba next January. But it's not clear whether President Fidel Castro will attend.
Thank you, John. Well, we continue now with our special coverage of the news that Princess Diana has been killed in a car crash in Paris. It was shortly after midnight in the French capital when the crash occurred, seriously injuring Princess Diana and killing her companion, Dodi Al-Fayed. The accident took place in a traffic tunnel at the Place de l'Alma. An American eyewitness, Mike Walker, came across the scene minutes later.
The car had flipped over and looked like it had hit another car. Looked like it had evidently hit the wall or something. Windshield was crashed in the front, and the people were looking like that they were bewildered. They couldn't get the people out, or, you know, they were dead. But they hadn't got anybody out the car yet. The people were still in the car. People were standing around the car like bewildered. People were standing around crying, you know. It was a rough accident.
Well, among other people who were at the scene were an American couple, Tom Richardson and Joanna Lowes.
We were walking along the Seine River, and we heard a huge explosion. It sounded like a huge gunshot. We knew it was a screech, and then it sounded like an explosion. And after that, we heard another screech and another car that exploded, and it sounded like a car crash. We ran to the scene. We went down under the bridge.
I was the first one down in the tunnel, and my girlfriend and three other tourists stopped at the entrance of the tunnel and were slowing traffic down because the traffic was going about 60 miles an hour and they were going to hit the Princess Di's car. So I and another gentleman ran into the tunnel to see if we could help anybody get out of the car.
Well, on the line now from Paris is our correspondent David Eads. David, is there any clear idea yet as to exactly how this crash did happen?
I think it's too early to say that there's anything that clear. What is clear is that the police are questioning a number of photographers believed to have been in hot pursuit of this of the car itself, as well as many eyewitnesses who were down at the scene. It was 12:30. That's not very late in Paris terms. It's a lively city. Clearly, there were plenty of people around. So the police will be hoping that they can garner quite a lot of information as to exactly how it did happen.
The cars were travelling at high speed then, were they?
Well, you know, this is a stretch of road where cars travel at reasonably high speed anyway. I think the circumstances that appear to be surrounding this particular accident are that the speeds were exaggerated, accelerated in terms of what you'd expect from a pursuit. Now, it's as one eyewitness said there, it's not unusual to see cars coming in at about 60 miles an hour. That's 100 kilometres an hour, let's say. That's not unusual. If a car is going fast along there, it's going significantly faster than that. And I think when you look at the wreckage that is left of this Mercedes 600, which is a big, strong car, it's clear that there was an almighty collision.
Do we know what the Princess and Mr. Al-Fayed were actually doing in Paris?
They had spent the evening at the Ritz Hotel, where they'd been dining. The Ritz is, of course, owned by the Al-Fayed family. They are recognised figures in Paris, Dodi Al-Fayed's father in particular. And they were travelling from the Ritz, we understand, to the 16e arrondissement, which is the perhaps the most exclusive arrondissement in Paris, to an apartment owned by the Al-Fayed family.
As far as French government reaction is concerned, David?
Well, the announcement of the death itself was made by, not by Buckingham Palace, which is what one might have expected, but by the Interior Minister here, Jean-Pierre Chevènement, who expressed understandably his emotion. The President, Jacques Chirac, has made a statement in the last few minutes in which he spoke of his own great shock of the sudden death of the lady they still call Lady Di here, of course. A young woman of our age, he described her as. Jean-Pierre Chevènement called her a modern woman, courageous, sensitive to human distress. Lionel Jospin, the Prime Minister, has also expressed his deep emotion and is hurrying back to Paris to pay his respects.
And as far as the people of Paris are concerned, are they gathering anywhere outside the hospital or anywhere else?
There has been a small trickle of people coming to the hospital in the very early hours, and even though it's 9:30 here in the morning, this is Sunday morning, Paris will have a fairly slow start. They are still waking up to the news, really, this extraordinarily shocking news. I don't think there's any question there will be deep shock in France, in Paris in particular, of course, because the French follow the British royal family with great gusto. They don't have a royal family of their own, and they enjoy the royal family saga, as it were. No one has been a more colourful character in all that than Princess Diana in recent years, and they have followed it with alacrity. I'm sure they'll be deeply shocked and very upset that it's happened on their soil.
David Eads in Paris for now. Thanks very much indeed. Well, there have, of course, been reactions and tributes from right around the world, especially, of course, from here in Britain. I'm joined now here in the studio with some of those reactions by Bernadette Keogh.
Well, first of all, political reaction. The Prime Minister, Tony Blair, said he was utterly devastated by the death of the princess and described her as a wonderful, warm, compassionate person. He said the whole of Britain would be in shock and mourning over her death. And Britain's Foreign Secretary, Robin Cook, who's touring Southeast Asia, described the death as a tragic loss of a young woman who'd shown great courage and commitment on serious issues. There's also been reaction from the leader of the opposition Conservative Party here in Britain, William Hague. He was woken and told the news. He said he was absolutely shocked. The whole nation will be in shock, he said, and in tears at this awful news. He added, my heart goes out in particular to Prince William and Prince Harry. And he added that, in his view, the princess had real star quality. Now, of course, for ordinary members of the public, they're just waking up to the tragic news. People have already been gathering outside Kensington Palace, the princess's London home. Several mourners have arrived in tears to lay flowers and so on. So the flowers have been piling up over the past few hours. People walking their dogs, going home after a Saturday night out, who have heard the news, have been traipsing to the palace to line up outside and express their shock at what's happened. In fact, one rather poignant tale, a nearby disco, the DJ announced to the assembled young people, the tragic news. The disco music was switched off and the young people went straight to the palace to pay their last respects.